Now, I'll tell you what, this music is getting dangerous for this old Southern boy. I'm about to have a can't help it spell, amen? You never had it in your life. You said, I don't believe in it. Just stand back and watch me, amen? Every now and then just get so good, can't help it. Watch out now. I saw some of you smile. Some of you about to raise your hand. I think some of you about ready to go, amen. I think it's about to get wild, amen. Brother Wright used to say, I got goosebumps so big I could hang a hat on them, amen. Feel like a window shade running up and down my back, amen. I tell you what, wonderful, wonderful singing. A little foretaste of what heaven's going to be. Music, just glory to God. I'm glad I preached second. If you'd preached me first, I'm not sure what I'd have done, my brother. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful evening God has given us. Appreciate Pastor Sal and his dear wife. As he said, we're friends, have been friends for a long time. And I appreciate good friends, lifetime friends, and I'm glad for them. Brother Marshall and his dear family and the church and all the things that you've done to make our stay so nice and kind. And my wife always says, how are you doing? I said, I'm just like I'm at home. Everybody taking good care of me. I don't have to cook. I don't have to fix any meals. And everything is wonderful, and I do appreciate it. Appreciate all the good singing, all the good preaching that we have been able to hear. It has a cumulative effect in our life. It takes just a couple of days to get the devil preached out of us. And then about toward the end of the week, we're ready for God to move in. Amen. Amen or oh me, it don't matter because I'm a preaching right now. Amen. But I'm glad that God still speaks to our heart. Glad the Holy Ghost will still nudge us and show us things in our heart and life that we need to see and we need to know and that we need to hear about. And I sincerely appreciate everything and all the messages and all that's been done from the Word of God. Find your way to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I told you the other day I had a series of messages from the book of Mark. I came up with this real super great title. It's called Messages from Mark. Now, I have not copyrighted that, preacher, so feel free to use it. And it is available for you to use. But this book just kind of caught my attention, several things that are here tonight. And when I was contacted about coming, I prayed every day since that day to this hour that God would give me just the message that He would have me to preach. I'm not here just because I want to preach. Not here just to be in church. I want God to do something. And I want the Word of God to do the work of God in the hearts of God's people that are here. So I pray tonight it'll be something that'll help you. And if it helps you, it'll be something you can pass on to somebody else and help somebody else in the path of life. I believe God helps us so we can help somebody else. I believe God will give us something. That's Bible. Amen. Things you've heard of me among many witnesses, same pass on to others and give that, pass it on down there. And I believe God shows us things and teaches us things and allows us to get things that we can give and pass on to others as well. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, at the end of this chapter, we have a wonderful story of another miracle that Jesus performed. And it says in verse 46 of Mark 10, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I like what it says in verse 49, and Jesus stood still. I'm glad when we call out to God for mercy, He stops what He's doing, hears and answers our prayer. Amen. I'm glad that He stood still and commanded Him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to bring you a message tonight that I've entitled, How to Break Out of a Rut. How to Break Out of a Rut. Father, may you help us tonight as we have read the precious Word of God. The most important thing we'll say or hear tonight is the Word of God. So I pray your blessing upon the Word of God, and I pray for somebody here tonight that's stuck in a rut, just feels like they're in some kind of a ritual or routine. They feel like they need to get out of that. I pray that you'd use this message to help them see how to get out of it. And if we know someone who's stuck in that same situation, that it would be used to help them. We pray you'd bless your message tonight. Honor the name of Jesus Christ, lift him up high and holy where he deserves to be, and help your people, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife and I had the privilege of having three sons. We called them my three sons. Ought to be a TV show or something, I think, along the way. So all I had was three boys. I didn't know much about girls. I did learn great scriptural lessons from my three sons. I learned what a bottomless pit meant. Boys just cannot get enough. My youngest boy went away to youth camp years ago, and we didn't have cell phones, so the only way he'd call was call collect. And I said, now, son, if you have an emergency, you call. But if it's not an emergency, don't you call. He called me, and I got that phone call, and the Irish blood was already stirring within me. I hate to waste money. I hate to do that. And I told him the only emergency is a compound fracture. You got a bone sticking out somewhere. Give me a call. Other than that, there ain't no emergency worth calling me for. He called and he said, Dad, this is a real emergency. I said, what is it? He said, they only serve three meals a day up here. I'm starving to death. Please send some money so I can eat. That's the same boy who got frostbite on his nose from standing in front of the refrigerator with the door open so long. But I don't know much about boys, but God gave me two granddaughters, and both of their name are Princess. Don't matter what their name is, it's Princess. They just get whatever they want. They got Papa right there. And I make no bones about it, I spoil them rotten. That is my God-giving calling as Papa, amen? I'm learning about Vera Bradley Persis. God is my witness. Yeah, amen. Help us out. I'm glad they haven't moved up to coach yet. Amen. I hurry him right by that area there. I was in an airport not long ago, and they had a Vera Bradley store, and I was the only male person in that store. And a lady came in and said, sir, are you lost? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm not. I'm just kind of looking around, checking it out. And I asked her if they ever had anything on sale. Said, no, I've learned a lot about American Girl doll babies. How many know anything about them? Raise your hand. Whoo! I never knew a doll baby cost so much. So I told my granddaughter she could only have three of them a year. That's all she could have. This is true. God is my witness. I have the American Girl doll magazine that comes to my house. I got to keep up with that stuff, man. I don't want to fall out of favor. I don't care nothing about them boys anymore. Your grandchildren are your reward for not killing your children. Kill. You said that's a strong word. Don't tell me you didn't think about killing them at times in your life. Just beat the daylights out of them. Amen. Well, they have the birthday parties. We had a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. Have you ever been there? I will never go to Chuck E. Cheese again. That is the noisiest place I have ever been in my life. So I told him I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to be at Chuck E. Cheese. I said, I will pay for the birthday party, but I will not go. Well, my little granddaughter said she's going to have a birthday party at a pet store. So we went to a pet store. And, I paid for the birthday party. Yeah, she came home with a fish and a bunny rabbit. I don't know, whatever. She looked up at me and said, Papa. I said, you got it, baby. Just buy it. I put my credit card there at the desk and said, whatever this girl says, just ring her up, amen. Done lost every brain I ever had in my head, amen. Boy said, you never did that for us. And I said, I never would do it for you, amen. Just tell them truth. That's how it is. If you're a grandparent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Grandchildren bring a light to your life. They can brighten up the darkest day of your life. And I think you got to get old enough to really appreciate what it's about. When you had your children, you're growing up with them. You ain't got no idea how to do it. I just knew how to tell my boys no. Dad, I would like no. I mean, that's, I haven't said what I wanted. No. Could I have? No. No. I need it. I said, no, you don't. I can't live without it. Yes, you can. You don't have it, and you're still living, so you can get by without it. Amen. What theology, amen. But we were in that store, and we're looking around these animals and all kinds of pets. People's got all kinds of pets. And I'm not going to pick on any pets you have, but certain pets I don't like. Wife and I was out the other day, and we was garage sailing. We're going down the road, and we saw a cat was lost. Reward, $500. I just say this, ain't no cat worth $500. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. And then they saw a dog lost $2,000. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to be a bounty hunter. I am. Not a human bounty hunter, but a dog bounty hunter. Here, Fluffy, where are you at? This dog was a little chihuahua. I said, let's just go down to the pound, soak it to death, rub mud all over it, and say, here's Fee-Fee-Foo-Foo. It don't look like her, but that's her. She's been out in the rain, and I said, $2,000, I'll just take $1,000 for it. But looking at those animals that were there and seeing those things that were there, and I went over and seen, you know, people got spiders for pets and snakes for pets. I'm not the snake person. When I went to Florida, they tried to tell me stripes running this way, head shape this way. Oh, no. Two kinds of snakes, dead and living. And if they're in my area, they are the first kind. Amen. Quick and dead. That's all there is around me. If they ain't quick enough, they're dead. Amen. But as I was there, and they were back in their room doing their thing. I don't know what they was doing. It just cost me a lot of money. I have no idea what they were doing. But I went in there and looked at them mice and gerbils? How do you say that? Somebody help me. I know, they laugh, Mike, the church. Which one is it? Gerbil. Or I'm calling gerbils. I don't know. That's what all young people do at my church when I say that every time. But they're in there and they got that wheel. They're going around. And then they got that tube. They're just in a rat race. They're in a trap. They're in a rut. And you know, I never really felt sorry for them. I never really thought about it. But I said, what a poor existence that is. Just in a vicious cycle, just in a rut, just in a ritual and a routine that they can't get out of. And when I came home, God laid on my heart a thought. It is sad for animals, but how sad it is for human beings that are caught in a rut, that are in a ritual and a routine, and they want to get out and they can't get out. There are those who are caged and controlled and held captive by something, and they can't break loose of that. Tonight I want to help you, and maybe you can get help and help somebody else of how to break out of that rut. There are people who are in a situation or maybe caught by some sin or setback in their life. And they're just in this thing where they can't break loose and they think they can't get out. I want you to know something. With God, there's always a way out. You can break out of that cage that you're in. You can break the bonds of captivity that you have. You can get unbound by the power and the grace of God. The Bible said there's no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted that above which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God has an escape route. God has an exit out of temptation. God has a way out. And I don't care how long some sin or some situation or some setback has held you there. I want you to know with God there is always a way out of that rut or that ritual, that routine, that cage, that captivity, that control that you're under by the power of God. Bartimaeus was in a rut. He was in a ritual. He was in a routine. He was held captive and caged in by his blindness. There was nothing he could do to break that cycle. There was nothing he could do to get rid of that. But thank God one day Jesus passed by. Hallelujah. Are you glad for the day Jesus passed by your way? Some sin held you captive and he broke you loose from that sin. Some situation had bound you up and he got you out of that situation. Some setback had held you captive and you were just in a cycle, a routine, a ritual that you couldn't get out of. And Jesus passed by where you were at. Tonight, if you'll look to him. Tonight, if you'll listen to him. And tonight, if you'll let him, he'll help you break out of the rut that you're in. As we look at this passage, we see what happened to blind Bartimaeus. We see what took place here tonight and how he broke out. I want you to see, first of all, he got out because he assumed responsibility for his own life. He assumed responsibility for his own life. Not a popular thought in the day in which we live, but it is true. He assumed responsibility for his own life. In verse 47, it said, when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out. And in verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. I want you to know, there were two crowds that were there in that day. And humanity is many times divided into these same two crowds. There was one crowd over here that was discouraging him. Shut up. Don't cry out. Don't keep calling on him. You're nothing but a poor blind beggar. And this Jesus is not going to stop for you. He's not going to pay any attention to you. And that crowd was trying to discourage him and trying to keep him out of it. But somewhere or another, there was somebody that was there encouraging him. He was blind. He could not see. He didn't know who was passing by. He didn't know who was coming down that road. Somebody had to tell him Jesus was passing by. You'll agree, say amen. He didn't know who it was, and he didn't know. I like to think in my mind's eye it was somebody else that had been healed. Maybe another blind man, or maybe somebody who had been also with an affliction. But they said, the Lord's coming by. Jesus is coming by, and he'll help you. There's always that crowd to discourage you, to defeat you, and disillusion you. And there's always that crowd that'll encourage you that you can do it and you can go on for the Lord. Now, I know there are two forces that are work in this world today. The devil and his workers that'll try to discourage you, shut you up, and keep you from believing in God. They're going to tell you that Christianity, that religion, that church, that's a bunch of foolishness. Don't pay any attention to it. But thank God there's another crowd over there of God's people that are praying for you, that love you. And say, brother, you can make it. Sister, you're going to get through this. I don't care how dark the valley may be. I don't care how dark the night may be. I don't care how dangerous and deadly it may be. They're there. I want you to understand something tonight. There's always been those two forces, two crowds, two sides that are there. One that's the devil's crowd to discourage and defeat you. One that is God's crowd that will there to encourage and exhort you that you can make it on. But the one person that made the difference was Bartimaeus himself. The Bible said when he heard him, he cried out, cast his garments away, and came to Jesus Christ. I want you to know tonight, you must assume responsibility for your own life. And if you'll come to Jesus Christ and cry out to Him, cast those garments aside, He'll loose you of the bonds that are there. It's simple like this. You got the devil here, you got God here. Devil's against you, God's for you. You cast the deciding ballot. The only way I got saved was I assumed responsibility for my own life. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And I had to assume the responsibility of sin that I was lost before I could ever get saved. And I want to tell you tonight, I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you. And I want to explain to you, God's on your side. That God's people are in your corner. And they'll let you know and let you understand if you'll call out to Him. You'll cry out to the Lord. You'll cast away whatever's keeping you. And you'll come to Him. He'll come to you. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. God is still being sought by men and women. And whoever seeks Him will find Him. Whoever calls on Him, He'll hear and answer their prayer. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. I'm glad that He can break us out of that rut. I'm glad He can break those chains and that cage and that confinement that we have. I'm glad that God's power is able to take us and break us out. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like your life is kind of stuck in a rut. Maybe you're in some kind of a track or a routine or a ritual that is there. Maybe you feel like that you are captive. Jesus Christ said we're to preach deliverance to the captive. Maybe you feel like you're caged in. Something's got you. Maybe you feel like you're chained and can't get loose. I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ can set you free. Jesus Christ can break that confinement that you're in. Jesus Christ can get you out of that rut, open the door of that cage, and help you to have victory that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember the story of the prodigal son. And we remember the story, got what he wanted, but he didn't want it once he got it. Say amen. A lot of people in this world, they got what they wanted, but now they don't want what they got. He went out there in that far country and wasted, and you know the story that was there. And you know what happened. And you know how it eventually ended up. But I want you to understand this. The world was still there. The devil was still there. Temptation was still there. But I want you to know something else. The Father was still there. The Father's house was still there. The Father's heart was still there. And I love that story because the Bible said that the prodigal said, I will arise and go to my Father. And I'm going to tell you what, his father must have been sitting on that porch in an old rocking chair looking out. And his mother was there and his dad got up and said, what are you doing? Said, I see somebody coming down the road. I've been looking for him for a long time. The Bible said when the father saw him, he ran. Hallelujah. He ran to where he was. Had compassion on him. Fell on his neck and kissed him and welcomed him home. I want to tell you tonight. Whoo, I can't hardly help myself right now. I want to tell you tonight. We have a heavenly Father that's looking for you. He'll have compassion on you. And He'll welcome you home. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. Assume responsibility for your own life. If you'll take that step and step out by faith and come to God, let Him help you. He'll do it. The Father's waiting for you to come. The Father's waiting for you to call on His name. The Father's waiting on you to cast away those garments. Come home to Him. You can break out of that rut. You can get freedom from that sin. You can get free from that situation. You can get free from that setback. You can get free from that suffering. You can get free from that sadness that captivates you and holds you. Bartimaeus assumed responsibility for his own life. Second thought I want to give you is this. Believe with God, you can change. Believe with God, you can change. That's the only way we can change is with God. But believe with God, you can change. That's where the devil gets many before they ever start. You know what the devil do? He'll say, you can't change. Say amen. I mean, he breeds hopelessness and helplessness. The devil will say, you can't change this. I don't care what that preacher says. That thing's got you. You're in that rut. You're in that ritual. You cannot change. There's an element of truth in that. But with God, you can change. I said, with God, you can change. With my God, all things are still possible. Amen. He works and specializes in the impossible because he can do anything that he wants to do. You get to that place in your life, you say, it's too late. No. How many still alive? So I figured about half of you. How many still alive? Bless the roll off. Bless his dear heart. Love souls and love people and was as godly a man. You know, there's a lot of good people, a lot of good Christians. But I often thought and challenged myself, how many godly people do you know? Outside yourself. I mean, how many godly people do you know? You're hard pressed to find godly people. Roloff was a godly man. He dealt with people. They'd mess up, go away, come back. Mess up, go away, come back. He said, don't you ever give up on anybody? He said, not till they've been dead 4 days. Yeah. I like that. Amen. He said, not till they've been dead 4 days. Because he said, Lazarus came out. Thank God for that. It's never too late. As long as you're alive and God's alive, it's never too late. You get thinking, this can't be helped. Let me tell you, my God is a very present help in time of need. You get thinking that I'm useless. This situation is useless. It'll never be fixed. That is not God. That is the devil. When you get to the point and you think it can't be changed, it's too late, there's no help and it's useless, it'll never work, that's the devil. The world says to you, there's no way it'll ever change. The devil said to you, you'll never change. The enemy says to you, it will not change. The flesh says you cannot change. But I tell you something tonight. God's word says you can change. God's work says you can change. And God's will. Now, every time you read a miracle, you ought to look for the messages that are in that miracle. And you ought to look for the master in that miracle. Because in every message, glad I'm not singing, anyway, if I broke that, send the bill to my granddaughter. She'll pay for it. Amen. Understand this. We've read this story. And we see it. But if we really read it, please listen for just a moment on purpose. Bartimaeus was in a situation no doctor could fix, no medicine could cure, no hospital could perform the surgery, no religion could fix it. There was no human way. Are you listening? There was no human way for this blindness to be fixed. But Jesus passed by. Hallelujah. You said, there's no way. Excellent. When you come to the end of your way, God's way just begins. When you get to the point where you can no longer work, that's where God works. Understand tonight, this blind man had no treatment, no doctor, no human way possible. No hope, but God did it to show us this. You can get out of that rut. You can get free of that sin. You can get free of that situation. You can get free of that setback in your life. Even though you can't fix it. Your family can't fix it. Your preacher can't fix it. No human being can, but God can. You read the Gospels, there's a leper came to him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, I can make me whole. No problem. He changed him. The maniac of Gadara that no man or no chains could confine or control. One day Jesus passed by. Next thing you know, he's sitting clothed. 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 I preach that because I'm from Florida. Clothed. 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 People go to Walmart in a bathing suit. And I guess Walmart has opened up overnight sleeping. Because when I go to Walmart, I see people in their pajamas. The witness out there say amen. Let me tell you something. Don't go to the store in your pajamas. Nobody needs to be that shocked at that time of day by what happens in your life. Amen. He was sitting and clothed in his right man. A man of palsy. Nobody could heal, but the Lord healed him. He opened the eyes of the blind. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. And he cast out devils. Believe with God, you can change. I said, believe with God, you can change. I'm going to tell you, the whole testimony of the Bible is simply that. With God, you can change. You read the miracles in the Gospels? Yeah, it's true, and it's a true story. What's it saying to us? What's the message to us? With God, you can change. In our neighborhood, we have trash day on Friday. So the wife and I set our garbage out. We have yard garbage and regular garbage. You know, we're supposed to separate it all. If our big can's empty, I just take the yard garbage and pour it right in there. Leaves, limbs, it doesn't matter. Wife said, you're not supposed to do that. I said, I don't know. That's why I like to do it. Amen. Got a little rebellion in me a little bit, I think. Amen. I told Russell, I'm paying for that garbage can. I'm paying for them to pick it up. So I'm going to put in there whatever I want. Amen. Now, don't tell them, but I got them light bulbs that are... I had a small computer. Television that died. Actually, I shot it, so it died. I don't care. It's my can. Put it in there. But they set that stuff out, and I set it out, and we'll get something. Wife said, you need to get rid of that piece of junk. I said, watch this. I'm going to set it out by the curb. If it's medical, if it's metal, mechanical, or scrappable, somebody will pick it up. So she said, I don't believe it. I said, woman, dear sweetheart. No, I said, woman, someone will prove it to you. So one Wednesday night after church, we just went around the neighborhood with the flashlight. I was showing her. Almost got arrested. People thought we were peeping toms or something. You know, we had a flashlight. Of course, where I'm at, I probably thought you was deer hunting. And wonderful time to hunt deer. You can kill one for sure at that time. Never done it, but I've heard they said that you could. Amen. And it is interesting. Things that are broken. Things that people don't want. And things that are just ruined. There's always somebody who will pick that stuff up. There's somebody who sees some value in it. There's somebody that believes it can be restored. And there's somebody who believes that it can be useful again. I'm glad that one day God walked by the trash pile where I was at. I'm glad he came by where I resided. The heap of rubbish that was made up of my life was not attractive. nor did it seem valuable, but Jesus Christ came by, redeemed my life, bought me and cleaned me up and fixed my life. I'm glad that he said, I'm glad that when he looked down, he said, I think I can do something with that. The world just thrown it away. I think that's usable. I think I can fix that. Hallelujah. One day he picked me up off the trash pile of life, said, I can use that. I can fix that. I can make that of something value. And because he loved me, he saved me off of the devil's dump truck. Hallelujah. And made me a servant of the true and living God. Hallelujah. Thank God. I want you to know, friend, God specializes in messes and mess-ups. Because that's all there is. God uses failures because that's all there is. Say amen. It won't hurt you. It'll help you out. Amen. God gets excited about trash. He can untie the knots of your life. In tenderness and joy, he searches through the trash of this life to turn it into a treasure for his honor and glory. Believe with God you can. Believe with God you can. Believe with God that you can. He'll take your life. Break you out of that rut. That bondage that you're in. Believe with God you can change. This thought. Quit worrying about what other people are going to say. Quit worrying. Now, I'm a Christian, saved. I know conscience, not my own or the others. I have concern of what Christian people and people think about me. I care. I don't live a flippant life, or try not to. Sometimes I, but anyway, I try to behave. My wife sees that and makes sure that it does happen. I realize we're saved and we ought to have cautiousness in our life. We ought to live careful and we ought to live concerned. But this is not that situation. Are you listening? This is somebody trying to get to God and they're trying to stop them. Don't cry out. They told him to hush, be quiet, quit crying out. I'm glad he didn't listen to what other people were saying. When I was in high school, I was studying to be a doctor. I took college prep courses. I actually signed up voluntarily as a boy for 2 years of Latin. Oh, hallelujah, was I crazy or what? 4 years of English, 4 years of math. I know it doesn't seem like I got past the second grade in English, but I made it past there. I took elementary mathematical analysis. I took biology, chemistry, and all those things that were there. And then the Lord called me to preach. So I became a doctor anyway. Just a different doctor, amen. So my family said, you're crazy. Said, you lost your mind. So think how much money you could make. What a good job you'd have. You'd always be in demand. There's always sick people. And I said, well, I don't know. I'll tell you something right now. As a preacher, I'll always be in demand because there's always going to be sinners in this world who need to be made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. Of an unending job. Plenty of patients. Plenty of people that need help. Would you quit worrying about what others will say? Let me say this lovingly, kindly, but firmly. Don't let your family keep you from serving God. Don't let your friends suck you out of church and get you away from God. Don't let family, friend, or foe keep you from serving God. Hey, this man here, he needed help. He was hopeless. All these naysayers could do nothing for him. So you know what he did? He didn't pay any attention to them. Quit worrying about what others may say or they may think. That will bust your bubble, but there probably isn't that many people wondering about us anyway. We go, well, wonder, have a look. You know, we'll go to church and wife will say, do you see that pretty dress that lady? I said, no, I see that. Why? Doesn't bother me. People always think everybody's looking at them. No, I ain't that many people. Your wife, your husband, one or two critics, and that's all there is along the way. Quit worrying about what others will say. William Carey, who's the father of modern day mission, Oswald J. Smith wrote a book, The Challenges of Life. When he wanted to go to the mission field, the directors of the East India Company opposed him. They made this statement. The idiotic resolution presented to Parliament of the sending out of missionaries into the world is the maddest, most extravagant, most costly, most indefensible project which has ever been suggested by a moonstruck fanatic. That's the mission board. Supposedly, the people that were there, even the Church of Scotland said to spread the knowledge of the gospel among barbarians and heathens is the most highly preposterous thought we've ever had. Carey was discouraged. But he said, why is my soul disquieted within me? Things may turn out better than I expect. These people did not call me. God called me. Folks, going to break out of that rut. Going to get out of that situation. Quit worrying. Let me say this. Stop waiting for the ideal circumstances. Stop waiting. Well, I'm going to get saved, but not right now. Why? Why would you want to take a chance on your soul dying and going to hell? Well, I just don't have the right feeling. Just in the right time. Stop waiting. Stop waiting for the ideal circumstance. People are always waiting till things are just right. Just perfect. Don't think it's just lost people. It's us Baptists. Well, if I went to that altar, what would people think about me? Who cares? If you don't go and God spoke to you, what will God think? I've been to altar every service because I needed whatever every preacher had to say. I need to. I don't get to come to the altar a whole lot when I'm preaching. I deal with people. But let me tell you something. Stop waiting for ideal circumstances. And this thought, in closing, do something by faith now. Do something by faith now. Understand this. The Bible said he came to Jericho. And as far as I can read in my Bible, Jesus never came to Jericho again. Suppose Bartimaeus had put it off. Suppose he had said, not today, some other day. Jesus never came through there again. Jesus never passed that way again. He had one chance and one opportunity to do that. Adam Clark was a Bible scholar. He told his students he got up early every morning and studied. His students admire him. Said, how do you get up early every day? Do you pray about it? He said, no, I lift this leg out and I lift that leg out and I get up. Stop talking about what you're going to do. Stop talking about what one day you're going to do. If you want to break out of that rut or that sin or situation, do something right now. I was at the hospital a few years ago. There was a young lady dying of cancer. Cancer has no respecter of age. And I tell you what, I can't watch those Shriner shows much. Them kids sick. They'd get every penny I had. You said, well, they're this and that. I don't care. A child being sick just breaks my heart. This lady was 22 or 23 years old. And the lady in our church was in the hospital. She said, Brother Jim, this lady's down here. And she said, I'm not eavesdropping, but I said, I heard the doctors and know what's going on. This lady knew something. Said, she's got cancer and she's not getting out of the hospital. She was on that floor in the hospital where there's no going home. Then below the floor she was going to next was hospice. I went down there and introduced myself and told her who I was and began to talk to her about the Lord and how whether she was saved or not. She wasn't saved. I asked her if she'd like to. She said, not right now. I left. You know, just every now and then, God will put somebody on your heart so strong, you can't get them off. Later that evening, I left. My wife said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the hospital. She said, you've been there all day. I said, I know, I've got to go back. I done something I've rarely done. I went to that young lady's room. Gave her the gospel again. I said, don't you want to get saved? She said, not right now. I knelt down beside her bed. I looked her right in the eyes, crying like a baby. I said, you need the Lord. You need to get saved. She said, I know it. But not right now. I went home. I couldn't sleep. I tossed back and fro. I went to that hospital the next morning early. Her room was empty. The bed was gone. She died that night without Christ. Don't put it off. Don't delay. By faith, do something right now. The Lord said, what do you want, Bartimaeus? He said, I want to receive my sight. And immediately, he was made whole. You can break out of that rut. You can get out of that sin or situation. You can get out of that circumstance. You can get out of that problem. As sure as he worked this miracle, he can work a miracle in your life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Stand together with me. Well, I don't know who this is for, but this message has been on my heart for months. This message here is not like a normal message I preach because I'm usually homiletical and everything matches, but God just wanted me to preach it. Some of you here tonight have come. You're just in a rut. You're like those animals in a cage. You're stuck in a situation. You're stuck in some circumstance and stuck in some problem. You just think there's no way out. Well, I'm going to tell you what tonight. You assume responsibility for your life. Know the Father's waiting to hear you, to help and to heal you. You believe with God you can change. Quit worrying about what others will say. Quit worrying about what they'll think. Stop waiting for some ideal circumstance and do something by faith now. You know what Bartimaeus did? He cried out, cast away his garments, and he came to Jesus. And immediately, he received his sight. As the piano begins to play, several at the altar tonight. God can get you out. Say, I'm trapped, preacher. Just feel like I'm in a maze. Feel like I'm in a situation that there's no hope. There's a circumstance that has me imprisoned. You come. God will help you. Same miracle working God is alive today. This miracle is recorded in this book to let us know God can do the impossible. When there is no human help, divine help is on the way. Maybe tonight it would be somebody that you love. Maybe it's somebody you care about. We're to preach deliverance to the captives. Somebody you know. Some sin, some drug, alcohol, some situation has them. Come to this altar and pray for them. Pray that God will give them deliverance. Oh, I'm glad to report to you tonight. There's a way out. God has an escape route. He has an exit door. You'll come. Call on His name. He'll help you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This story, like all those stories in the gospel, is to remind us what God's able to do. When man can't help, God can help. When man won't hear, God will hear. When man cannot heal, God will heal. What may seem hopeless and helpless, God will get you out.
If you're here tonight and you're the reason Brother McGahee was given divine instruction to preach that message, it's not abnormal for people to come during a Bible conference that are unsaved. Sometimes friends and family invite them. Sometimes they just come because they work with somebody. Sometimes they're just curious. Or maybe you just came because you didn't have anywhere else to go. I don't know. But if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, you couldn't have heard the gospel any clearer or plainer tonight. You couldn't have been lifted to a level to see that God specializes in the impossible. Before you allow the devil to convince you that God can't or won't save you, just look around. Because everybody's standing around you is an impossible case. Every one of us didn't deserve, didn't merit, didn't have any hope. And Jesus saved us. And He'll save you tonight. It's not a thing where you just kind of chant the mantra. And I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish until you brainwash. This is something you'll know instantly. When God moves in and takes up residence in the human soul, it will let every other part of your being know something has changed here. This is different. And so if you don't know the Lord, couldn't think of a better place anywhere in this world tonight where you could go and find a better opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior. There are lots of people standing around here tonight that be willing to take all the time you need to answer every question you got. But it's not about getting questions answered. It's about trusting Christ. And you could do that tonight before you walk out through those doors. I'm glad it's not a religious experience. You don't ever have to come back to this church again to go to heaven. You don't have to get wrapped up in our program. We'd love to have you, but it's not necessary. But only things necessary to get to heaven is to trust Jesus Christ and let Him do what only He can do. So if you're not saved tonight, why don't you just come and say, I'd like to be saved. We'd rejoice at the opportunity to tell you what it means for us from the Scripture to be born again. And then maybe you've lingered a little bit and you've been standing there going, I should have gone. And the devil steps in and says, well, everybody's going back to their seat now. But we're not through. We'll stay as long as you need us to stay. So if you'd like to step out of that pew right now as we sing this song, come spin. Maybe you've already been here. It's time to come back already. I don't know. But just don't leave tonight without being obedient to the Lord's leading in your heart now. As we sing this song, 490, I hear thy welcome voice. You ever heard that voice? Sometimes it seems awfully threatening till you listen a little bit. But then you realize it's a welcome voice when He calls. and leads us in the right direction. While we sing tonight, why don't you just ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? And I'm committed to do that. Speak. I'll hear. I'll obey. Could be an amazing thing what God can and will do. While we sing, 490.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Though I am weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure. Thou dost my vileness fully cleanse, till spotless, all and pure. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
Let's sing the last tonight. You need to come, come, and if not,
Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
Praise the Lord for what God's done. Only He can do. And He's done exceeding abundant tonight. If you missed the message, I don't know whether you ever get it. It's there.